Blog Talk Radio.
Radio on the Right Stream Network. This is your host, Lisa Tarvis, metaphysician, board-certified holistic health practitioner, and author of the book Just Believe. This is going to be our second show. Last week was our introductory show, and this week we are doing a show with Vaughn Goodwin. Vaughn is an author of a couple of different books, and he is going to talk about boiling frogs today. I'm as interested as everyone else on that one. Just wanted to also mention that the show is going to air every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern. We'll have a different guest on every week covering lots of different topics under holistic health, metaphysical science, spirituality, and even some paranormal subjects here and there. So if you're interested in being a guest, you can shoot me off an email at lisa@lisatarvis.com. That's lisa@lisatarves.com. And also, I'd like to add a segment, hopefully starting next week, where I'm going to be talking about some of the questions that I get most often, some of the questions about either my business, things I'm planning in the future. Our people have just general spiritual questions, metaphysical questions, want to know my opinion or guest opinion on something. You know, whether any kind of anything you have that you maybe want answered, whether it's a psychic reading type of thing or, you know, and anything you can come up with at all, please feel free to send me an email to that same address, lisa@lisatarvis.com. And I will read the questions on the air and use a few minutes in the beginning of the show to answer all those questions that come in. So that will be a segment that we add, which is just going to be like, you know, probably a we're kind of doing, you know, reading the mail kind of section, I think. So anyway, I want to bring on our guest with no further ado. Our guest is Vaughn Goodwin. He's a very good friend of mine. He hosts his own radio show called Living the Question Radio. He's a business consultant. He's a coach. He does a lot of different different things, as well as the author of two books, and I think a third one's on the way. So we'll talk to him about that when I pull him up here. So I'm going to put Vaughn Goodwin on with us. Hold on. Vaughn, are you there?
I am here. Yes, and this is pretty exciting for me. Yeah.
I'm still learning the ropes here on how to do this hosting gig, as we were talking about earlier. So I'm doing my best to deal with hitting all the right buttons and asking the right questions too. So bear with me, world. Bear with me, Vaughn.
Live radio is fun. No one expects it to be perfect. They just want to be entertained and informed. So let's have some fun with it.
Yeah, I think that's the easiest way to go about it. And quite frankly, that's the most comfortable way for me to go about it, is just having a good time and seeing what happens. So when I asked you what you wanted to talk about this week, you sent me an email, and it said boiling frogs. The miracle of coincidence. And I looked at my husband. I said, "Is he kidding?" like I get the miracle of coincidence thing, but boiling frogs. And well, Scott kind of shrugged. So I'm really curious what that means.
Well, Scott knows me. He knows that I come out of left field sometimes on things. I like to kind of be entertaining in the way I present things. Now, before I get the PETA group excited and mad at me, I have never, ever boiled frogs. So let's get that out of the way. But
thank goodness. Those words.
There you go. Boiling frogs is I use this a lot in my consulting business, where when I come into a practice or a business to make changes, I do it slowly, almost imperceptibly, where people, you know, experience change gradually to the point to where a few days, a few weeks, or a few months down the road, they're a completely different group of people doing completely different things, and they never really notice a change. Now, where the term boiling frogs comes from is if you attempt to put a frog into boiling water, it will immediately jump out, and it will resist. It will be it won't cooperate. If you put a frog in cool water and slowly heat the water, the frog will never notice the change, and it will, in fact, stay in the water and ultimately pass away because it just never notices the change. And I think that's a good metaphor for we humans. When we're brought into this world, it's being spiritual creatures that are we're very intuitive, we're very in touch with our past, our spiritual past. And as we grow older, we get conditioned, we get, reprogrammed would be a good word for that, to ignore those things that we came into this world knowing and having a skill set. So I think when I use the term boiling frogs in this context, I'm looking at it and thinking about how we have grown as a species to where most of us are completely out of touch with that spiritual side, with that intuitive side, with that connection to the source that we came into this world having. So that's what I mean by boiling frogs. We sat in the water too long, and we've forgotten everything that we knew.
Oh, that's really interesting. I would have never thought of the term boiling frogs. Is that an Alabama thing?
No, actually, I'm not sure where I got that, but I think I was in eastern Pennsylvania when I got that term.
Oh, right, okay. Sure, blame eastern Pennsylvania. So do you believe that what you're saying is that you believe that people have seem to be unaware of what's going on around them?
I think they have come to that condition by just being accepting Western philosophy on things, and that mainly is rationalizing everything away as being either a clinical or a scientific event, even though those two things don't have to be necessarily anti-spiritual. But I think we're looking for point-and-click answers in the spiritual world, and I think that that's where people kind of lose their way.
So do you think that you've always been aware of what's going on around you?
You know, I think, as I said, I think I came into this world because I remember as a young child having, and I know this sounds a little strange to people, but I can recall being very young and being very connected. I felt like that I would actually go into the forest near my house, and I guess people would term it as building a little altar or something, but I would go out there and like put together some twigs and stones, and I would, consecrate that area as being something to be kind of in touch with nature, almost like a Native American kind of thing. But of course, as I got older, I got more into school, I got more into making money, I got more into trying to be handsome, which is a full-time job that I never achieved. I've tried to do a lot of things that you would see on TV as being defined as successful. And I was living my life, and actually I was on the list of things that were important to me. Everything that was important was absent. And so I had gotten to be to where I think most people are in this world, where I was just completely unconscious of what was going on around me. And then something tragic happened in my life that kind of reshuffled the deck, if you will. And that tragic event was a situation to where my mom, she was a young woman at the time of this occurrence, had a heart attack. Now, there's no such thing as a mild heart attack. Heart attack's a heart attack, and it's a scary thing. But in terms of it being treatable, it was very treatable. And she goes into the hospital. She has these occluded arteries, these blocked arteries. They repair the arteries, and then she comes home, and she's supposed to feel better immediately, minus the soreness and all that stuff. And she never got better. She never felt better. And the thing about it is that when she went into the hospital, and I don't want to drag this out too long, but when she went into the hospital, they had to put her on heparin for so long, an anticoagulant for so long before having the surgery, she developed an allergy to it. So when she had her bypasses, guess what? The bypasses did not open the arteries. It actually clogged the arteries because of that heparin allergy. And she comes back into the hospital 3 weeks later, and the doctor performs a surgery using pyrudin, which is snake venom, and he was not well-versed in using that. He just had a lot of equipment to monitor the surgery in that regard. And what happened is that on the operating table, she started to bleed out. So the doctor decided to use something that she was allergic to try to stop the bleeding, which is very, very unwise. So he injects heparin into her body during surgery, and her blood clots instantly in her body in the machine, and she dies. I left the hospital really pissed off at the world. I felt like a victim. I felt like someone had to answer for all this. So I looked for spiritual answers in the legal realm, and I never was satisfied. But all along the way, as things were happening in that legal realm, there were other things happening to me that I slowly began to notice as coincidence in my life as trying to lead me down a different path. And, you know, I'm not that smart a guy, you know me, you like me, but I'm not that smart a guy. But the thing is that I was smart enough to recognize all these little things that were happening, some big and some small. And it was at that time, during this time when I was really hurting, living as a victim, that I recognized these coincidences in my life.
So you think that losing your mom helped you to become more aware in general?
Yeah. Firstly, the obvious questions that are being raised in the Bible Belt in the South, we all think about heaven and hell. We think about the afterlife. We think about a lot of things, many of which those ideas have changed my mind over time, obviously. But you start thinking about things like, where is she? And you start reading things about energy, how energy never leaves, it just changes. It goes from here to there, from this state to that state. So I started reading and started paying attention to things like the coincidence and started wondering, is there more to living in life than living and dying? There has to be. And it wasn't a situation to where I started fabricating answers to make myself feel better. It was a very interesting journey, if you will, to where one of the first people I met that helped me along the way is a lady that recently passed away. Her name is Sharon Gamble, and she is probably one of the most gifted psychic intuitives I've ever met in my life. And, of course, those stories were for another show, perhaps, but she lectured me one day as if she were my grandmother. She told me to stop living as a victim, start living as a participant, and to start paying attention to things that would happen in my life that would be tutorials for me to find my way. And that's when I started paying attention to things. Now, if I can share a story with you, Lisa, that one that's really, really phenomenal that led me down the path to believe and to listen to people like yourself with regard to guardian angels, the story is very, very compelling. And you know the story, but your listeners may not know it, and probably don't, you know it. But I was driving along the interstate late at night in northern Louisiana about 3 a.m. in the morning. I had just crossed the Mississippi River Bridge near Tallulah, Louisiana. And those of you that are familiar with that area of the country, there's nothing out there. It's just nothing. And I'm driving along in the dead at night, and alongside the road is this young lady hitchhiking. And this young lady hitchhiking was effectively dressed, shorts and shirt and stuff like that, that would catch any guy's attention. And that was not my motivation for stopping. I'm just thinking, like, what the heck is she doing out here at 3 a.m.? I'm going to stop and give her a ride to the next exit.
So
I hit my brakes on my car, and I have no brakes. The brake pedal goes to the floor, and now I stop thinking about her, start thinking about me, and I go to the next exit, coast to a spot, and with plans of using my emergency brake or whatever to stop the car, but I hit my brakes and I had brakes. So this was a few miles down the road, so I presume someone would help the young lady, so I continued on my journey to Dallas. But anyway, a few minutes later, I heard on the radio a news bulletin of where two men had stopped to pick up a lady that was hitchhiking. And when they did, a man ran from the bushes and shot both men, one killing one man, leaving the other man dying. And the young woman and the man sped away in the car after hijacking the automobile. And
wow.
Now, that and a couple of other instances right after that, I mean, and I had my car checked the next day and there was nothing wrong with the brakes. Brakes were perfect. But my brakes did not work at a time that would have probably cost me my life if I had stopped.
So that's like it's what you talk about when you talk about divine orchestration. I mean, that was it was kind of divine interference there that you know you did, that your brakes went out, so you didn't have to, you didn't stop, or you would have been the one that you know was killed.
Yeah, and you know the thing about it, and here you go. People I've told this story to, they would say, well, what about the two men who did stop? Were they less intuitive? Were they this or that? Well. You know, I really can't speak to that. Maybe it was just their time, and maybe that was their plan in life, but it wasn't my plan in life at the time, or whoever was helping me orchestrate things, it wasn't my time. So and now I'm telling the story to others that will listen, your audience included, that there are subtle things that happen in life and big things that happen in life that provide a tutorial and guidance, if you will. And the worst thing you can do in my perception is to keep those things quiet. So I want to tell people what's happened to me so that they can use it as a lesson perhaps to pay attention to themselves and realize there are miracles happening daily in their lives.
Wow, yeah. You know, it's funny because like when you say that about people not knowing, you know, like people asking you, well, why wasn't it your time? Why was it their time? And you know, people ask me that a lot with what I do, and you know, and I'm an angel person. I'm into obviously communicating with angels and all of that. And I think so much of the time when it's not your time to die, your guardian angels interfere. And sometimes, you know, they would do something like, you know, they didn't put you, you didn't get hurt, you didn't crash into a tree or anything like that. But you had no brakes. You weren't able to stop. And, you know, something like that I would say would be your, you know, a guardian angel would come in and, you know, and stop you from putting your life in danger because it was a sure thing. It wasn't a maybe this will happen. This was a planned act that someone had, you know, had planned to commit. They had planned to do this murder. And it wasn't your path, but maybe the person behind you, it was their path. I mean, there's no way to know that. But that's one of the biggest questions I think anybody in the spiritual business of any kind asks all the time is, well, I don't understand why is it this person's time when they're younger than me or they're, you know, they have young children at home or whatever. And, you know, we don't know what path we determined for ourselves in the, you know, before we took on the lives that we're living now.
Well, I agree. Now, there's a couple of other stories, if we have time to share, that I think is compelling as well.
Yeah, later, absolutely.
A few weeks after that, I was coming home late at night after having entertained guests, business guests at a restaurant, and I came home, and I was living in this old, probably close to 75-year-old home that had been converted into a triplex, three apartments. The entrance to my apartment was in the alley, and I parked in a little parking place in the back, and I would walk through a little courtyard that was looked like a cross between a graveyard and a flea market. It had a lot of gaudy stuff there, and I would go down a little sidewalk to my back door. No big deal, nothing scary about it. It's just, you know, it's just a place to live. I got home that night, though, and Lisa, when I got out of the car, I grabbed my bag, my briefcase, and I just broke out in this sweat, this cold sweat, and I felt abject fear. And I'm thinking, like, well, stop being a girly man and go through the door. And so I took a couple steps toward the gate, and I literally heard a voice that said, leave. I heard the word leave. And I jumped. This was before I got to be so in tune to all this. And now I think I would listen without being so afraid. I would just follow my, you know, the lead and do it. But I ran
right
through the I threw my bag in the back seat, jumped in the car, and sped away like I was just a scared schoolgirl. But I drove around for a few minutes, and I went and parked on the front side of the building, which is something we were not supposed to do as tenants. And I pulled up on the sidewalk. I went in the front door, slept with the TV on, all that kind of stuff that people do when they're kind of nervous. The next morning, when I got out, I looked out the back door, and there were a couple of dozen cigarette butts on my back door, and nobody in that building smoked, but there had been someone there the night before waiting for me to get home. And now I don't know who or why or what the purpose was or anything like that, but I do feel that there was some potential harm coming to me that night as well, and something told me to leave, and I did, and I found the evidence of someone that had been waiting there the night before. So once again, I think that saved me from harm, if not more. Now, those are kind of two big examples of how it actually saved my life. Now, there are other examples of how things can happen in your life that actually help you prosper and do things in a more caring and efficient way, if you will. I'm a lucid dreamer. I dream things. And I know this sounds weird to a lot of people, but to you, Lisa, I think you understand this, where the night before going to a new client, sometimes I get right before I go to sleep, and that time as you're going to sleep, before you get really asleep, I kind of get into this little groove, if you will, and I start thinking about things, and then I'll get up off to sleep. And it's like I'm actually rehearsing the next day, the night before. And in this dream, this practice had called me, this medical practice in New Hampshire had called me and said that they were having numerous practice problems with staff and workflow and this and that. Could I come up with help? And I said, of course, certainly. And I don't like to do a lot of research. I like to go in and kind of feel my way around. So what I did is that the night before, having that dream, I dreamed of an oyster with a black pearl, oyster with a black pearl. And I'm like, how is this going to help me the next day? So anyway, I go, long story short, I found out that the biggest problem at the practice was the administrator. She was implementing a lot of stringent rules, and she was being very oppressive, almost like a psychic vampire, just sucking energy from people. And guess what I found on her desk? She had a paperweight that had a brochure with a black pearl in it.
Oh, my.
And in my dream the night before, the dream told me the source of the problems and the way to correct the problems is the oyster with the black pearl, and I found that on her desk the next day.
Wow, that's amazing.
So these are things that at that level don't happen every day. They happen occasionally. But then there are hundreds of stories that I can tell you that happen every day where I'll see someone on the elevator that will bring up some kind of obscure little comment that as soon as I walk into the meeting down the hall, I'll use that comment because it was provided to me. It was perfect timing, that sort of thing. So there's a lot of things going on in this world around us that will help us, that will actually give us a guidance if we would just kind of pay attention and slow down and be quiet a little bit from time to time.
Yeah, I agree. I have the same sort of thing happen when I a lot of times I'll get like a ringing in my ear, and I always call it an angel download because I don't know what else it is, but I feel like the angels are, I'm hoping that's what it is. I think that the angels are communicating with me, and they communicate in a high-pitched tone, and they're sending me information, and I'll hear the screeching. It's like, it's just like a high, really high-pitched kind of, I mean, it's not like, you know, after you go to a rock concert or something that's screaming you here in your ear or anything the next day, it's because of the damage you've done to your hearing. But it's like a high-pitched ringing that lasts just a minute or two. And all of a sudden I'll sit there with a client the next day and I'll be doing a reading or, you know, some sort of a reading or a healing or something like that. And all of a sudden there's information that I have no idea where it came from. All of a sudden I know things about a subject that I knew absolutely nothing about until that moment when it came in. And I always think that that's what it is. It's like I'm getting that information through, you know, through the angels a day early or a few hours early, and then it's there for me to recall just like a memory, you know, just like a memory would be.
I'm with you. I mean that. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, it's a fascinating phenomenon, and I think it's the way a lot of this kind of thing works. I want to ask you about how someone can learn to be more aware and be more, in tune. Like you talked about quieting the mind and things like that. So I want to talk to you about that, but let's take a quick break first. Also, anyone who has any questions for Vaughn, has any comments, wants to call in and, say, hey, whatever, you can reach us at 347-945-7246. Again, that's 347-945-7246, and we will be back in just a minute.
Hi, this is Daria Ann, author and founder of the Writestream Radio Network. If you're an author, writer, blogger, or just someone who enjoys reading and learning, I hope you'll tune in to our inspiring, insightful, and educational programs. Every Sunday, join author and metaphysician Lisa Tarvez for Just Believe at 1 p.m. Eastern, when she explores a variety of spiritual topics, including alternative healing modalities. A gifted intuitive from a young age, Lisa's book, entitled Just Believe, chronicles her journey from a childhood of seeing and communicating with angels to a career in which she uses her talents to help others emotionally, spiritually, and physically. Each week, she interviews experts in the fields of personal growth, spiritual development, and alternative medicine. Military Mondays with author and military historian John D. Gresham analyzes current events and issues from the perspective of the United States military. Tune in at 1 p.m. Eastern every Monday when John, author of such books as Uncommon Valor and journalist for the Defense Media Network, interviews accomplished guests on important topics like national security and defense and global terrorism. Writestream Tuesdays with Daria Ann airs at 1 p.m. Eastern and welcomes authors in diverse genres, including romance, drama, military history, spirituality, and politics. We also speak social, discussing the benefits and pitfalls of social media platforms and the numerous and plentiful publishing formats now available with various experts in order to help other authors navigate through new technology to reach higher levels of success. During every broadcast, we welcome your calls at 347-945-7246. And, of course, the chat room is always open. Can't listen live? No worries. Just go to blogtalkradio.com/writestream to listen to the archives. And be sure to join us for our weekly Thursday Writestream Twitter chat at 11 a.m. Eastern using the hashtag Writestream on Twitter. Rejoice in the flow of creativity with the Writestream Radio Network and the Writestream Twitter chat.
Okay, Vaughn, we're back. Just want to, that was Daria. She is the lovely person who is running this network for us and doing such a fantastic job at it. I wanted to just take a minute to get back to what we were talking about a little bit here, Vaughn. And I wanted to ask you before the break, I mentioned, assuming that we can all learn to become more aware and, spiritually and of the fact that there are no coincidences, no true coincidences. So can you tell us a little bit about how you think that works, how you think somebody gets to that point?
Well, I think if you ask a number of different people, you're going to get a lot of different answers. I kind of make my living, so to speak, and literally in the business world. So a lot of times, Lisa, when I'm working with my clients, I can't come in, and you'll probably understand this, I can't come in as a overly spiritual type person in a business environment. I kind of have to sneak up on people from behind sometimes and give them what they need to have. And this is the way I do it in the business world. Now, we can take the same approach in our personal life as well. There's nothing wrong with this. But I want you to imagine drawing a triangle or a pyramid, if you will, on a piece of paper, and you layer that pyramid into four layers, like a cake, at the top, two middle sections, and a bottom. And at the top, I would want you to list things like tips and tricks. The second layer, I would like for you to list some wording like, such as rules and regulations. Then, on the third layer from the top, I would like for you to list it as like peer pressure. And then the bottom layer, I would want you to list it as core values. Now, core values in the business world is what we talk about as our spiritual values, our connectedness in our venue that we're talking about today. Now, as a consultant, when I go into a practice or as a trusted friend working with some individual, if I go in, I have an immediate effect in the business world because I come in with tips and tricks. Now, anything at the top of that pyramid is going to be easily done and short-lived. It lasts for a short time. It's easily accomplished. I can come in with tips and tricks, whether it's workflow or software tips or tricks, or whether it's in the private world on how to lose weight or something, whatever.
All right.
Short-lived and easy. Now, the second layer is all the rules and regulations of where you hand off responsibility for those things happening to someone else in your life or yourself. For example, in the business world, that second layer would be a manager where I hand off the tips and tricks and structure to a local manager, and they hopefully will take that and make it work. Now, in the third level from the top, the peer pressure is where, even in the business world, where you have some people that take the lead and some people don't, then those people that take the lead hopefully are those strong enough to pull the other ones along with them. Well, we have the same occurrence in the private world, where people pull you in the right or wrong direction, so that peer pressure is there. Now, those top three things are easily accomplished, and they're very short-lived, very temporal, if you will. The bottom layer is the key, because that is where your core values and where your spiritualness is. Now, how do you get to that core layer? This is it. The difference between achieving change at those top three layers and achieving change at the bottom is nothing more than gratitude. And I say nothing more because it's profound. Gratitude is profound. When I go into a practice or a business and I work with individuals, if I can help them to become more gracious and have more gratitude for their lot in life, in other words, everything that they're experiencing now is for a reason. And if you accept it for that reason and learn from it, then you're able to tap into that core value and make true changes that last forever and are more substantial. So if I were to sit down and talk with Elisa Tarvis, and if I were able to facilitate any change in her, it would be nothing more than to have her have more gratitude for everything she experiences in her life. And from that, they can make changes that are more long-term. They can see the value of things. And I know that this is a whole show into itself, if we're going to do one in the future, that pyramid.
Right.
Because, honestly, I can give you testimonial after testimonial of clients that I leave and they say, I don't know what you did, but we're a different place now. We're different. People think differently. They're acting differently. What did you do? And I really didn't do anything. I just have to focus on one emotion, gratitude, because to me, gratitude is the one emotion that speaks to the heart of God. And if you want to make a change in your life, just in our Western culture with Christianity, we are always taught to give thanks. Well, that's a common theme throughout all of religion and spirituality, is to give thanks. And to give thanks in a way, verbally, emotionally, physically, and completely. In other words, you got to live it, be it. And when you get to that point, changes happen in your life. So if you ask me one thing that can make you become more aware, it's just develop a sense of gratitude, because everything you experience just has meaning.
So how do you think, like, somebody who's going through something really bad in their life, I mean, whether it's something personal like a job loss or the loss of a, of a loved one or somebody who's watching, you know, that has a child that's ill and things like that. How do you explain to them, how do you make them focus on what they're supposed to be, you know, grateful for when their life is so much just around misery or unhappiness or something like that?
You know, I think where we fail in this is that we look at, we are creatures that we're very time oriented. In other words, and this is kind of a lame example for what the question you just asked, but give me a couple minutes here and I'll get around to it. But when we look at life as if it is a parade, and we're watching the parade at ground level. We only see what's in front of us. We saw the bands and the floats that came by earlier, and we have some distant memory of that. We probably can't recall all the details, but we know what we just saw. We completely see what's in front of us, but we don't see what's coming down from the end of the parade. So if anything, if we learn, and this is difficult because we get caught in this time warp, if you will, but if we're able to elevate our perspective from the ground level to the building tops, where we can see the entire parade at one time from start to end, that's the perspective that we need to have in looking at problems in our life. But does that stop the hurt? No, it doesn't stop the hurt. Does that stop the pain? Does that stop the questions in your mind? No. Why does it not stop those? It's because we have to live those. We have to live those questions in our life. And that's just a part of it. Now, it doesn't make it easier. But if we learn to look at things from an elevated perspective, it helps us to see that, help us remember that which we've seen, fully understand what we're seeing now, and we can see what's coming down, or coming from the back of the parade, if you will, what's coming down the path.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense because, you know, that's, you hear that sort of thing from people all the time. You know, they don't, sometimes finding things to be grateful for when you feel like everything is at a, you know, just a bad place. You know, it's really hard to remember that there are so many beautiful things about our lives and how focusing on that beauty can also help to create more beauty in all the other areas of our lives, you know, staying positive and staying upbeat and focusing on the good. Focusing on the bad is just going to create more, you know, bad. It's just going to create more problems. So, you know, I think that's excellent advice for people to keep in mind.
You know, too, Lisa, is that, you know, when you look at the world, when you look at the population of the world, there may be those that carve out people like you and me and people that think like you and I into a separate group. You know, they may do that, they may not. The thing is, too, within our group of like-minded individuals, there's even divisions within our group. And I tend to be less touchy-feely and more take responsibility. And I'm one that simply because we believe the way we do, it doesn't mean that bad things are not going to happen to us. And so I'm kind of more of a, you know, just man up, woman up, and things are going to happen to us. And yeah, sometimes we don't have explanations for things, and we just have to watch the parade and see what happens. So I guess I'm less touchy-feely. And if it comes across that way, it doesn't mean I don't really care. I really care a lot. I just grew up in a household where we take responsibility for what we do.
Yeah, and I think, you know, bad things do happen, and people focus a lot of times on the fact that they are, you know, they're in a bad spot, they're in a bad thing. Well, what did I do to deserve this? Who did I hurt to ever, you know, cause this to happen to me? And that's not what it's about. It's not about you doing something to deserve it. You're living a plan. You're living your life based on a plan. And you're supposed to be going through the things you're going through, and sometimes it just makes no sense at all. But, you know, at least not while we're on, you know, Earth. I mean, I think in the spiritual world we understand, but, you know, you can't just sit there and focus on, you know, why is this happening to me? Why me? Why me? There are so many bad people in the world. Why don't these bad things happen to them? It just doesn't work like that.
Oh, I agree. I'm with you.
I think these are really good, you know, really good topics, really good things to keep in mind, you know, everybody, just to remember that, you know, I mean, you know, Von's big thing has always been, for those of you that are new to Von Goodwin, Von's things are always living the question, and there are no coincidences, and everything is divine orchestration, and, you know, all these beautiful ideas, they're intense, and they're beautiful ways to live your life, remembering those things. We are living the question. How did you come up with that title, by the way? I've always wanted to ask you that, and I never have. Living the Question. You have Living the Question Radio, Living the Question, all over on your website and things like that. Where did that come from?
Well, listen, I'm sure it's not original. I'm not sure any of us have an original thought in our body because, you know, someone somewhere has thought about everything, I'm sure. But in the middle of the night in a dream, I had this dream as to where did I want to take all of what I do? I mean, how could I encapsulate everything and the way I think and what I want to do and accomplish into one word or one simple concept? And in the dream, someone told me something told me that what you're trying to tell people to do is just live the question, live the question, just live it. And don't necessarily look for answers, they'll come. Just live your questions and the answers will come. So that's, I woke up the next morning, wrote it down, thought about it, and actually just went from there. It was no clever marketing scheme. It was just something someone was telling me to do. So I've learned to pay attention and mind them.
Yeah, I agree. You know, what about the concept of there are no coincidences? Did you believe that? Is that the way you lived your life before your mom's passing, or did her passing influence that whole thought process?
Well, I want to answer that by jumping to a theme in my third book that's coming out. In my third book, and the answer to your question is no, I didn't always believe that way. I've changed, and I've kind of evolved over time. And in my third book, The Hunter's Moon, the book is divided into threes. And one of the threes that I talk about is the morning, the afternoon, and the evening of my life, of anybody's life, and how something in the morning that could be true will maybe come alive by the evening, and something that was somewhat interesting in the morning may be completely true in the evening. And the thing about it is that we're allowed to change our mind. We're allowed to grow. We're allowed to learn how to figure things out, and we're allowed to in our existence accept the fact that we could have been dead wrong in the morning and allow us to change our mind in the evening without losing any credibility with our family and our friends and the world. And early on in my life, I think I was very spiritual as a child even. I think I lost that when I got into a lot of heightened materialism where money and boats and cars and that sort of thing kind of ruled me, to the point to where I really disappointed my dad one time when I told him that I wanted to buy a piece of land adjacent to my property and that I would just wait for that landowner for something bad to happen to him so that he would need money and I could sell for him a ridiculously low deal to get the land. And my dad at the time looked so disappointed in me saying that at the time I didn't even realize why. That's how blinded I was to and insensitive I was at the time to others and to the spirituality of things. Now, of course, I look back and I'm embarrassed to even think that I thought that way.
Right.
But I changed, and people change. And so in the third book, I talk about how we evolve from, in my case, to being completely spiritual, to being completely materialistic, to now where it's okay to be a little bit of both as long as you do it with some kindness and some consideration and some gentleness to yourself. So I don't know if it's a function of just getting older, because I see older people that are going the other direction. I think it's a situation of just paying attention to coincidences in your life, listening to that still small voice that's trying to tell you things, and you just dismiss it as being an annoyance. So I don't know. I don't have all the answers, but I do think that they will all be given to me as I meet them. So I think that's the difference.
Right. Well, you talk about your third book coming up, which is the Hunter's Moon, correct?
Correct.
Okay, and when is that going to be out? Do you know?
Actually, I'm finishing the final edits now. I have been wrestling with my editor for a couple of months on this stuff, and I think that the only negative thing that's happened to me in the last few years is this editor. But I'm about to get all this done and get it out of the way, and it should be out in a couple of months, and I'll keep you and your audience informed as to when it's out. And certainly later we can talk about where they can go to my website and check that out as well. But it's coming out, and I have two other books, The Olympian Moon and The Egg Moon. And the interesting story here about the naming of the books is my mom died on the full moon, on the night of the full moon. I walked out, and the moon was full. And later, I went back and retraced the charts and this and that, and I learned that the full moons had names. And she happened to die on the Linton moon, the last full moon of winter. And that was very symbolic for me because it was the time of when things were dead, things were not green, things were not growing, and it marked the end of something long and cold, if you will.
All right.
And that book chronicles that experience with her and me and my sister and family regarding all the malpractice issues, all the legal stuff, all the things that people can kind of get engrossed in, like a Grisham type writing, from a whodunit and why they do it kind of perspective, to where the egg moon was the next full moon after winter, which marked the beginning of spring, new growth and new birth. And that book describes my path of coincidence that led
right.
me there. Where and how I believe now. So one talks about death and dying and living as a victim. The other one talks about moving on, learning, and growing as a participant. And then the third moon talks, the Hermes moon, the third book talks about how one is allowed to change in their life, and that is perfectly okay.
I read them backwards. I've read both the books, The Lenten Moon and The Egg Moon. And I think I read them backwards because your first one was The Lenten Moon. I think I read The Egg Moon first. But The Lenten
right.
Moon is the story of your mom.
Correct.
Right? Okay. And yeah. The process that they went through was, for those of you that haven't read it, and I mean, it's a very good book, and it basically talks about a very big legal battle that ended up going on, malpractice, over what happened after his mom's heart attack, and it's a very good story. It's very, there's a lot of legal stuff in it that but at the same time you're reading a book and you're just feeling, you know, Von's pain, you're feeling his sister's pain, you're feeling what they went through, and the injustice of our system and the way things work. And it was a fascinating book. And the egg moon, when I read it, that's exactly what it was. It was kind of this thought, well, this is how you think, this is how this is what you teach, you know, are the philosophies that are in the egg moon. So I'm very excited to see what comes out with what's coming with the Hunter's Moon. I think it's going to be another very fascinating one. It's a lot of work to write a book, I'll tell you that. I've done one, and Von's done now. This is his third. It's a lot of work to write a book. It's a lot of, you know, even when you enjoy it, it's still a lot of work and a lot of time that goes into writing a book. And Von, your books are available, and you can talk about all this later, but they're available for download as well, aren't they?
Yes, you can go to my website, and it will provide you links to either Balboa Press or to the other outlets, Barnes & Noble, whomever. And you can get the hard copy, or you can get an electronic version as well. And, of course, the electronic version is much more affordable. And
the electronic version is always just a quick way to get it, so you don't have to wait you don't have to wait for it to come in the mail and all of that. You know, and I'll have somebody will say, "Oh, you've got to read this book," and I'll forget the name of it by the time I go get on the computer to, you know, order it, have a chance to do that. So sometimes just grabbing your Kindle or your phone or your Nook or whatever, and you just download it right away while they're talking to you. And it's like, that's right, I wanted this book, I wanted that book, you know, and then you get it really quick. So I like that technology, very cool.
Yes, I love it.
So tell me about any last thoughts you might have, like, anything that we haven't mentioned or anything that you want to get out that is not really on topic with what we've been talking about or is on topic, whatever.
Well, there's some things that I would like for us to talk about in future shows. I guess we'll mention them here as a tease. One of the things that I run across, Lisa, in the business world and in the private world, the personal world, is that we have in the Western world elevated competition to a point of where we honor. I mean, we recognize that as being a premium quality or characteristic of a person, but we have really bastardized that definition of competition. And I have, in my attempts to work with individuals and in business environments, I have refocused the idea of competition toward cooperation. And it was so funny that I've talked about this and I've written about it for a number of years, and that Scientific America came out with an entire magazine special issue this past summer that had at the top evolution, and it says, didn't happen by competition, it happened by cooperation. So that was kind of a validation of some thoughts that I had. Now, to explain that a little bit further, as a tease, I would like for us to talk on a future show of how I can trace that back to the Dark Ages and how some political things happened in the Dark Ages that affected politics in the 20th century that has now affected Western philosophy and has caused a lot of the problems that we're experiencing today with our finances, our economy, and the way we generally treat people from the standpoint of competition instead of cooperation. So we could actually have another show about that one day.
Right.
Another thing that's profound that I find very, very profound out there that needs to be talked about as well is that even going back further, there are so many things that academia, our university system, and our politics and they hide things and they just bury things. They suppress new concepts and new ideas that have much more proof and validity. They just bury it. It's almost like I'll talk about this. Like Rex, there's a Rex skeleton out there. I know I'm kind of reaching out here, but Rex skeleton suggests that humankind is much, much older than the scientific idea of evolution would suggest. I mean, 100 times older, and that our human origins are much more interesting than simply chemicals coming together and evolving. It looks like there's a lot of orchestration done by some people or some entities beyond Earth. And of course, all of this knowledge is being suppressed, and the only reason why it's being suppressed is that scientists select individuals that have invested their entire life and they have influence in academia, refuse to admit they spent their entire life studying something from a wrong perspective. And we pay the price for it today because that information is not given out to us because of prejudice and people's own proprietary knowledge of what's going on. And you would be completely surprised, Lisa, and your audience to know that there is a human origins is a lot different than what we've been told in religion and science. So that would be a show for another day as well. But really my last thoughts today, and those are just teasers for future shows, but my last thoughts for the day is that instead of giving a thought, I want to say this. I want to thank you, Lisa, for always being a friend. You've always been there for me in whatever I've needed. You've done shows with me. You've helped me. You've reviewed my writings. You've been there to talk to me about different things going on in my life. You have always been there, and I'm very thankful. I have an extreme sense of gratitude whenever I think about you. So, and that's the way, that's a heartfelt and genuine feeling I have for you. And that's an example that I want to give out to all your listeners, that we need to not only have those feelings of gratitude, but we need to let people know that we're gracious and grateful for people in our life, and I am for you. I want to thank you.
I am for you as well. We've known each other. Val and I have known each other for a year. It's been over a year now.
Yeah.
It's been a while. I don't know. Time's just flying so fast. It's hard to keep up. But once in a while, he comes into town, and we get together and have dinner and get to talk live, which is always fun. And most of our stuff we do on email and on radio shows, and once in a while on the phone and texting, lots of texting. So you're the first person that I of course wanted to have on for my first on my own show without Daria holding my hand. So I was very, very happy that you were able to join me today and help me launch this new station, and I'm looking forward to having you on lots of times in the future. I am also on Von's show, for everybody who wants to know. Von's Living the Question Radio. We have a show that he and I do together on the second Wednesday of every month. It's at 10 Central, 11 Eastern, right? I got that right, Von?
Correct.
Okay. And so, actually, that's coming up this week, I guess, right?
That's this week. We got to get it planned. You're right.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll do what we were going to do last time. I was talking about doing, people with the winter blues. Everybody's like, oh, my gosh, is this winter ever going to end? And it's, been a mild winter for some of us, but not so mild for others. And, in the East here, I don't know about the rest of the world or what rest of the country, but in the East Coast, we've had in the Northeast, we've had, this weekend was beautiful. I mean, it was, 60-some degrees. It was sunning. And now we're supposed to get snow later in the week. So I think everybody's going to be like, are you kidding me? Because we're all going to have spring fever now. So it might be a fun thing to talk about, or maybe we'll think of something completely different between now and then. Who knows? But that's coming up this Wednesday night at 11 Eastern. I did say Wednesday, didn't I? Not Tuesday.
You did say Wednesday. That's correct.
Okay, good. I was thinking Tuesday for some reason, but I'm glad I said Wednesday. So, anyway, that's when it'll be. And so, anybody wants to catch us on there, Von, give us everybody your contact information. You're also on Blog Talk Radio. The all the information that you have, how people can listen to your show, as well as our show, as well as get a hold of you and buy your books.
Well, there you go. Listen, the best way to get in touch with me is at my website, Von Goodwin, VONGOODWIN.com. There are links there to my show, my books, Lisa's shows, Lisa's books, and to some other people that I value in my life. And that's one place you can go to look me up. You can email me at VonGoodwin@yahoo.com. Also, I have blogs out there on my website, links to my blogs and other writings, if you will. And I look forward to hearing from people. I mean, Lisa will tell you, and she will soon learn, that one of the best aspects of doing a radio show is getting the feedback from the people that listen. So support her, let her know, show some gratitude for her taking the time to have the show. It takes a lot of work to produce this show, and Lisa did quite well today, girl.
Thank you. I'm still learning. I'm still working the bugs out. I'm still trying to, there's a chat room, so manage the chat room, managing the guests and things like that. But you know what? I'll work all the bugs out. I'm excited about it. I love doing radio. I love doing your show. And I'm really excited about, this show now coming up. And I'm sure you'll be back on probably in a few weeks here. We'll think of another great topic, and so there's so much that you have to say, and so many great, so much great advice you have for people. So everybody can definitely look forward to hearing you back on here very soon.
Well, thank you. And one last thing, if you're in the water and the water's heating up, get out. So don't become a boiling frog.
Yeah, exactly. That boiling frog. Yeah, I have a friend of mine who's in the chat room right now, my friend Dune. Hi, Dune. Anyway, she's in the chat room right now. She's like, the boiling frog thing, Lisa, has been around since like the 1800s. And I'm like, oh, okay, great, thanks. I never heard of it before.
That's funny.
I'm acting like it's some new thing, and apparently it's a very old thing.
Yeah, like I said, there's no original thought in my mind, that's for sure. I steal everything, so anyway.
All right, well, I will be talking to you soon. Everybody hang in there. I've got a few more things to add, talk about next week's show. But, Vaughn, thanks so much for being on the show. I really appreciate it. And everybody, definitely take a look at Vaughn's website and look at buying his books. They're very good. I'm very picky about the books I read because I have so many to read, and I really enjoyed, I really enjoyed reading Vaughn's books. So definitely think about that, look them up, and Vaughn, I will talk to you soon.
Thank you. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
Okay.
All right, everybody. I want to just add a couple more things here. As I said, this is. We're still like working the bugs out of the show, but I am going to get a really good schedule here going on so we can have a little bit of some kind of routine. Everybody loves routine, right? I'm going to have next week on the show a lovely woman. Her name is Dr. Karen M. Wyatt, and she wrote a book called What Really Matters, 7 Lessons for Living from the Stories of the Dying. So it's What Really Matters, 7 Lessons for Living from the Stories of the Dying. And she is someone who is a family physician, and she spent a lot of her 25 years of her career as a hospice medical director, and she's been caring for dying patients in their homes. And she talks about a lot of the things that people are thinking about, when they're at that state or that place in their lives. She's also written a couple of other books, I believe, A Matter of Life and Death, which is stories to heal loss and grief, and then she's written The Loss and Grief Survival Guide. So Dr. Wyatt will be on next week, and we'll be interviewing her on her book and some of the stories she has for us, some of the interesting things that she has to talk to us about. Also, remember, anyone who wants to call into the show at any point, you can always call in at 347-945-7246. Definitely think about sending me those emails with questions. I really want to add this kind of mailbag kind of section to the show in the beginning, where I can talk about some of the questions that you guys have, and it can be that the audience has, and it can be on anything. It can be, spiritual in nature, metaphysical in nature, paranormal in nature. If you want to send a photograph of something that you want me to look at, whatever, just please feel free to do that, and I will get to all of these things. A lot of people that can't afford the readings or can't afford the private sessions with me can, get some stuff answered on the air for them. So take advantage of that. Also, and that email address, by the way, is lisa@lisatarvis.com. So feel free to send me anything you've got there. Also, you can find out everything I do. Like I said at the beginning of the show, I'm a metaphysician, master's degree in metaphysical science. I have board certification as a holistic health practitioner. I do a lot of intuitive work with clients, a lot of talking to angels, a lot of talking to spirit guides, a lot of talking to even the deceased loved one here and there. So anybody that wants to look up anything I do, you can look up my website at lisatarvis.com, lisatarves.com. And my book, which is basically a story about my growing up with the ability to see and communicate with angels and about my main philosophies in life. My book is called Just Believe. That's it. Just simply Just Believe by Lisa Tarvis. And it is available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Balboa Press, anywhere you can pretty much buy a book. It's going to be available there. So anybody that has any kind of questions or any ideas for the show, feel free to email me or contact me through my website. You can follow me on Twitter at, I'm at Lisa Tarvis on Twitter, and I'm on Facebook. My book has its own Facebook page.
Just Believe by me. So, and then I have another Facebook page, which is Metaphysical Healing by Lisa Tarvis. So you can look up and follow me on Twitter or communicate with me through Facebook and, of course, LinkedIn and all the other great social networking sites. So I really enjoyed the show, and I am going to end it now. We don't have any callers or anything, so I think this is a good time to end things. And we will be back again next week at 1 p.m. on Sunday. And I will talk to you, and we will be talking to Dr. Karen Wyatt then. I look forward to next week. Thanks, everyone.